Chapter 3. Captain Birch immediately launched a search and rescue mission after he lost radio contact with Dirk and Dahlgren. He brought the Deep Endeavor to Dirk's last reported position, then began a visual search for the two men, sailing west in a zigzag pattern from Unaska to Amukta. Every available crewman was called to the deck to scan the horizon for signs of the men or helicopter, while in the ship's radio shack, the radio man continued a tireless call for the missing aircraft. After 3 hours of searching, no trace was found of the helicopter, and an apprehensive dread fell over the ship's crew. The Deep Endeavor had worked its way close to Amukta Island, which was little more than a steep volcanic cone popping out of the sea. Dusk was approaching, and the sky turned a purplish red on the western horizon as the day's light slowly diminished. Executive Officer Leo Delgado was studying the steep shape of the mountainous island when a faint blur caught his eye. "Captain, there's smoke on the shoreline," he reported, pointing a finger towards the hazy spot on the island. Birch held a pair of binoculars to his eyes and looked intently at the spot for several moments. "Burning debris, sir?" Delgado asked, fearful of the answer.
"Perhaps. Or it could be a signal fire.
Can't tell from here. Delgado, take two men in the Zodiac and see what you can find on shore. I'll bring the ship in behind you as close as I can get."
"Yes, sir," Delgado responded, already crossing the bridge before the captain had finished speaking.
A gusty breeze had kicked up, making the evening seas choppy by the time the Zodiac was lowered into the water. Delgado and the two crewmen got doused with cold sea spray repeatedly as the rubber boat bounced over the swells in their anxious drive to the shore. The skies were nearly dark, and the helmsman had a difficult time tracking the wisps of smoke against the black backdrop of the peaked island. The island appeared to be surrounded by a steep and rocky shoreline, and Delgado wondered whether they would even be able to get ashore. Finally, he spotted a quick glimpse of the fire's flame and directed the Zodiac towards it. A small channel through the rocks opened up, leading to a pebble-strewn patch of beach. Gunning the motor to ride the crest of a wave in, the 12-foot rubber boat bounded through the channel and ground to the shore with a crunch as the hull plate scraped some small rocks before sliding to a stop. Delgado jumped out of the inflatable boat and ran apprehensively towards the smoky fire. Two shadowy figures could be seen hunched over the smoldering driftwood fire, trying to keep warm, their backs turned to Delgado.
"Pitt? Dahlgren? Are you guys okay?"
Delgado shouted out hesitantly before approaching too close. The two soggy-looking derelicts slowly turned towards Delgado as if rudely interrupted from an important meeting. Dahlgren was holding a half-eaten crab claw in one hand, while the head of a white mouse peeked out of his chest pocket, sniffing the night air. Dirk stood holding a sharp stick, the end of which pierced the shell of a huge Alaskan king crab, whose spiny legs dangled over the open flame.
"Well," Dirk said, tearing a steaming leg off the big crustacean, "we could use some lemon and butter."
After briefing Birch on their encounter with the fishing trawler, Dirk and Dahlgren limped to the ship's medical station for treatment of their wounds and to slip into some dry clothes. Dahlgren's bullet wound had pierced the meaty section of his left calf, but fortunately had missed damaging any tendons. As the ship's doctor inserted sutures to close up the wound, Dahlgren nonchalantly lit up a cigar while lying on the examination table. When the smoke hit the physician's nostrils, he nearly ripped out the sutures by hand before forcing Dahlgren to douse the smelly tobacco. With a grin, the doctor handed Dahlgren a pair of crutches and told him to stay off his leg for 3 days. Dirk had his bloodied cheek and forehead cleaned and bandaged after catching a face full of shattered glass when the helicopter hit the surf. Remarkably, the two men incurred no other injuries from the crash and sinking of the Sikorsky. Dirk had saved them from drowning when he noticed a fuselage door had popped off during the crash landing. After the helicopter filled with water, Dirk grabbed Dahlgren and swam out the opening and made for the surface. With the aid of Dahlgren's trusty Zippo lighter, they were able to ignite some dry driftwood on the beach and stave off hypothermia until Delgado arrived in the rubber boat. Captain Birch, meanwhile, reported the loss of the helicopter to NUMA headquarters, as well as reporting the incident to the Coast Guard and the Atka Village public safety officer. The nearest Coast Guard patrol vessel was hundreds of miles away at Attu Island. Information about the fishing trawler was reported in detail, but the odds for an interdiction were slim at best. After donning a black turtleneck sweater and jeans, Dirk made his way to the wheelhouse.
Birch was leaning over the chart table, plotting a course through the Aleutian Islands.
"Aren't we heading back to Unaska to retrieve the bodies of the Coast Guardsmen?" Dirk asked.
Birch shook his head.
"Not our job. Better to leave them be and allow the proper authorities to handle the investigation. I'm laying a course for the fishing port at Unalaska to disembark the CDC scientists."
"I'd rather make for that trawler," Dirk said.
"We've lost our helicopter and they have an 8-hour lead on us. We'd be lucky to find them, assuming we could even outrun them. The Navy, Coast Guard, and local authorities have all been alerted to your description. They have a better chance of finding that trawler than we do."
"Perhaps, but their resources are all thin in this part of the world. Those chances are slim at best."
"There's little more we can do. Our survey work is finished, and we need to get those injured scientists appropriate medical care. There's no sense in hanging around any longer."
Dirk nodded.
"You're right, of course."
Wishing there was a way to find the trawler, he headed down the ladder to the ship's galley for a cup of coffee. Dinner had long since been served, and a cleanup crew was working over the kitchen before shutting down. Dirk filled a mug of coffee from a large silver urn, then turned and spotted Sarah sitting in a wheelchair at the end of the dining hall. The golden-haired woman sat alone at a table, peering out a large porthole at the moonlit water outside. She was dressed in the dull medical ward attire of cotton pajamas, slippers, and a blue robe, but still gave off a vibrant glow. As Dirk approached, she looked up and her eyes twinkled.
"Too late for dinner?" he asked apologetically.
"Afraid so. You missed the chef's special halibut Oscar, which was truly excellent."
"Just my luck," Dirk replied, drawing a chair and sitting down directly across from her.
"What happened to you?" Sarah asked with concern in her voice as she eyed the bandages on Dirk's face.
"Just a little accident with a helicopter. I don't think my boss is going to like the news," he said with a grimace, thinking about the expensive helicopter sitting at the bottom of the sea.
Dirk proceeded to describe the events of the flight, all the while gazing intently into Sarah's hazel-colored eyes.
"Do you think the fishing boat had something to do with the death of the Coast Guardsman and us getting sick?" she asked.
"It only goes to figure.
They obviously weren't too keen on us seeing them poaching sea lions or whatever else they were up to."
"The sea lions," Sarah murmured. "Did you see any sea lions on the west end of the island when you flew over?"
"Yes. Jack spotted several just past the Coast Guard station on the western shore. They all appeared to be dead."
"Do you think the Deep Endeavor could obtain one of the cadavers to study? I could arrange to have the specimen sent to the state lab in Washington we're working out of."
"Captain Birch isn't eager to stick around the area, but I'm sure I can convince him to retrieve one for scientific purposes," Dirk said, before taking a long draw from his coffee. "We are actually headed back to port in Seattle, so could deliver it there in a few more days."
"We could perform an autopsy of the animal and determine the source of death relatively quickly. I'm sure the Alaska State authorities will take some time to release the cause of death of the two Coast Guardsmen, and they might not want the CDC looking over their shoulder."
"Do you think there might be a link with the dead sea lions that were found on the other Aleutian Islands?"
"I don't know. We believe the cadavers found near the mainland were infected by a canine distemper virus."
"Distemper? From dogs?"
"Yes. A viral outbreak likely occurred through contact between an infected domestic dog and one or more sea lions. Distemper is very contagious and could spread rapidly through a concentrated sea lion population."
"Wasn't there a similar outbreak in Russia a few years ago?" Dirk tried to recall.
"Kazakhstan, actually. Thousands of Caspian seals died in 2000 due to an outbreak of distemper near the Ural River along the Caspian Sea."
"Irv told me you found healthy, uninfected sea lions on Unaska."
"Yes, the distemper did not appear to have reached this far west, which will make an examination of the dead sea lions you saw from the helicopter that much more intriguing." A quiet pause fell over the couple, and Sarah could see a faraway look in Dirk's eyes as the wheels churned inside his head. After a moment, she broke the silence.
"The men on the boat, who do you think they were? What were they doing?"
Dirk stared out the porthole for a long minute.
"I don't know," he replied quietly. but I intend to find out.